planning to vote for him, but you might as well know the truth of the man that you are going to vote for. He's a globalist. He believes in international solutions, not national solutions. This is a quote that I found from him. We have to strengthen our global alliances at the core of a new global compact, a league of democracies, and also we must lead by creating the new international institutions necessary to advance the peace and freedoms we cherish. So here are the plans being set out before us. Are your presidents always New World Order men? Well, I don't know, but a lot of them certainly are. This was very interesting because at the last election, both President Bush and his alleged opponent, the Democrat Kerry, John Kerry, were both members of this organization called Skull and Bones, which is the most secret and influential secret society in America. That's why many policies change very little, regardless of who is president. Skull and Bones has about 15 people admitted every year as bonesmen. There's only a few hundred active members. So a mathematician among you could work out what the odds are of both presidential candidates, allegedly from different opposing parties, being members of the same very small secret society. What are the odds? Virtually zero. I think it couldn't happen unless it was planned. But secret societies have been promoting a new world order for centuries. And again, the Illuminati are one of those behind a lot of this. In 1940, a Skull and Bones document said this: their initiation ceremony, which your president went through, involved the new man being placed in a coffin, carried into the central part of the building. The new man is chanted over and reborn. He's a born-again bonesman. He is removed from the coffin and given robes with symbols on. A bone with his name on it is tossed into the bone heap at the start of every meeting. So that's what he went through. It's worse than that, but I couldn't even say it in public what they really do. Within the Skull and Bones crypt, also known as the tomb, there is a sacred room with the number 322 on it. Here is the Skull and Bones headquarters at Yale. For those who think it doesn't exist, here it is. Here's the front door. Anyone here could go up and thump on it very loudly. Guess what? They wouldn't let you in. You have to be a member of the elite East Coast, very wealthy establishment. You have to be a young man, I think they admit women now, who has some future chance of being a leader in society. They go take you in, they groom you, and they give you the connections that will see you through life, get you to be president of universities and so on. They scratch each other's backs. Here are their windows. It's a very sinister looking place. Looks a bit like a Masonic lodge, actually. And what they do inside is not unlike what goes on. So he's a third generation bonesman, your present president. Prescott Bush, his grandfather, is widely believed to have stolen the skull of Geronimo, which is the emblem of the Skull and Bones Club. They drink from that, by the way. It's disgusting, isn't it? That was also the emblem of a German secret society that Hitler belonged to, but that's another long story. President Bush is reputed to be about to convert to Catholicism. This was a report from the Roman Catholic-owned Daily Telegraph of London. Now, Tony Blair, who's on his way to possibly becoming the first president of the EU, he's just converted to Catholicism because that will help his advancement in Europe. Jeb Bush is already a Catholic. Vatican sources say that Mr. Bush is the most Catholic-minded president since Kennedy. And since before he became president, Catholic intellectuals went to Texas to lecture the president or the new president-to-be on the church's false teachings. So I'm afraid that although he has the reputation of being a Christian, he clearly doesn't understand the biblical concept of grace through faith and not works. He is following falsehood, unfortunately. This is from the Illuminati website, and it will also be familiar on the dollar bill. And if you look at the documents where they're getting together with America, Mexico, and Canada, and having summits of the Americas, very similar. You also have this triangle, though they resisted putting an I in the top of it. How do you build a new world order? Well, You do what they did in Europe and what they've done elsewhere. You create free trade areas. It sounds innocent and harmless. Then you create a set of common rules. Everything from the noise of lawnmowers to the weight of trucks is harmonized. Then you need a bureaucracy to run it all. You abolish borders and you allow unlimited immigration. Pretty soon, everything is mixed and mingled. There is no national allegiance and the central bureaucracy can do as it pleases. That's the stage we've arrived at in Europe, as I told you earlier. So the nation state is being deliberately destroyed. This has been planned for many hundreds of years. It's very far advanced now, and it is the greatest story never told. It's told in our book. This is what David Rockefeller said. I'm not going to read all this out because Bob did the other day. But he said, basically, that if the press had been alert and awake and doing their job, if the TV and news media anchors had been watching to see what was happening, if they reported all this, Americans and others around the world would have risen up in rebellion and kicked out the politicians that were associated with secret societies and trilaterals and all the rest of it. But David Rockefeller said, thanks all you editors, you didn't do your job, you kept your mouths shut. I think that's a disgraceful rebuke to the press of America, actually. Here's what Albert Einstein said. The ruling class has the schools and the press under its thumb. This enables it to sway the emotions of the masses. It's what I was saying earlier about green propaganda. They can play with the emotions, get the young people to idealistically act for the wrong things. Because most young people want to do the right thing, you see. And they think saving the planet is a jolly good thing. Big bucks and global government mesh together. Again, David Rockefeller admitting in his memoirs that they were actually trying to build an integrated global political and economic structure, a one world, a new world order. And he said he pleaded guilty to the charge and was proud of it. And this is a photograph taken at Bohemia Grove. Now, just because one of my heroes is there, President Reagan, doesn't mean he was actually a member. They might just have invited him. So he probably went along just to see what was going on. But nevertheless, this is where the movers and shakers, there's President Nixon, all the leaders of American and foreign society go along as well. And they meet under these huge, giant redwood trees. And we saw a lot of stuff about Bohemian Grove. It was so outlandish and fantastic. Pat and I didn't believe it. We always like to check the facts, you know, and a lot of rumors and half-truths and heresies and all sorts of oddities flow around the web and people email me and saying, have you heard? And I always think, I don't believe it. Check it out, check it out, check it out every time. And certainly, if it's anything to do with what purports to be a Christian movement, be Bereans, check it out, like the noble Bereans did. Anyway, I said, well, I don't believe there is such a thing as Bohemia Grove. I just thought it couldn't possibly exist. We went to California on a tour with Noah and Bob and co, Larry. One day, I think Noah said, look, we have a day off and we'll take you and Pat, my wife, up to Muir Woods, where the giant redwoods are. I'd never seen a giant redwood tree. And we went up into the woods. We were quietly walking through the woods. And we came across a plaque there. We weren't doing any research that day. We were just having a walk in the woods. And there it said, here was founded the Bohemia Grove Club. So I thought, it's real, it's amazing, it really does exist. And then we did more research on it. We found that the first thing they did was erect a 90-foot statue of Buddha. So they were spiritually off-beam right from the beginning. And then they moved their secret meetings to a 2,000-acre enclave where the public aren't allowed in. They've got fences around it and it's guarded. And this is where they now meet, not far away outside San Francisco. And they all meet there and they have their different clubs. Mandalay, Hillbillies, Caveman, Stowaway, and Owl's Nest. And here are some of the different people who belong, the different types of people who belong to the different clubs. They're like lodges in the woods, you see. This is where they go, and they plan the future of the world. Who's going to be president, that kind of thing, you know, small inconsequential stuff. And here they are at the opening ceremony, which is very occult. Here is the great owl of Bohemia. Bohemia Grove, Northern California. And something wrapped up, it looks like a body, is rowed across a lake, and then they sacrifice it underneath this giant owl in a kind of furnace. Whether it is a body or not, who knows? I don't know. These are actually pictures taken from live TV movies taken of the ceremony, which if you didn't actually see it, you would not believe it. Here they are, the priests of Bohemia Grove, about to sacrifice to the owl idol. It's an occult ceremony, basically. Very mysterious. And this is what they chant, all of them dressed in robes. O thou great symbol of all mortal wisdom, owl of Bohemia, we do beseech thee, grant us thy counsel. And so it goes on. Look it up for yourselves. Now, secret societies are all over America, of course. They're called Masonic lodges. My father was a Shriner and in Vancouver, Canada. When Pat and I were touring Missouri a year or two back,